Now, on Friday, the internet access was completely cut off in Cairo. The activity sort of fell off a cliff. There's a very memorable graph demonstrating that. But in the last few days, more and more people have been getting back online. Jack Schenker's with us. Jack, how are Egyptian bloggers sort of getting around the restrictions?
Well, they're trying a number of different tricks to beat the government's censorship blanket. And I'm currently in a neighbourhood to the west of the Nile. The people who are here have asked me not to identify too specifically where it is. They're worried that if the government's listening in, they'll be able to launch cyber attacks on this location, or indeed physical attacks if the police come back out onto the streets. And it's the apartment. It's a residential apartment building where the people who live here have managed to find an illicit internet connection. Again, they've asked that I don't specify exactly how they've done it to stop the authorities being able to work it out and shut it down. But it's a big apartment, and as a result, there's dozens of people here from protesters from different political backgrounds, Egyptians who have no particular affiliations but have been getting stuck into the demonstrations and want to relay news to the outside world, and lots of local independent Egyptian journalists who are staring at banks and banks of laptops, eating biscuits and knocking back bottled water, and trying to keep up to date through Facebook and Twitter and the blogosphere and emails, and trying to get some messages out to the outside world. And it's really a really hive of activity. It's a sort of cross between a high-tech media hub and a student's bedroom. And there's a lot of energy here. People are constantly hearing rumors coming in. They're trying very hard not to tweet unverified information, because often there's a question as to the veracity of the sources. So, for example, we heard something about an hour ago coming here from a number of different sources. The police were sending plainclothes officers, plainclothes thugs, into Tahrir Square, and at a curfew time they were going to start attacking people and causing chaos and spreading fear. Now, the first instinct was, well, we need to get the information. And then the second instinct was, well, actually, what is this? Is black propaganda from the regime, and they're trying to do this to spread fear and panic and chaos. And as I say, that rumor was never confirmed, and so they didn't retweet the information. And there's this constant process where people are shouting out to each other, I've heard this, I've heard that, who's the source? Okay, let's double check with so-and-so. Constantly on the phones, constantly checking these online social media sites, and then having a discussion as to what would be responsible to send out to the world. And they're very aware that people, not only are we in Egypt desperate for information from the outside world because we've been so cut off, but people abroad are also very keen to know what's going on here, keen to keep up to date with events. So it's a really, really interesting place to be. And right now we're just about half an hour, I think, or 45 minutes away from curfew, which is beginning earlier today, an hour earlier than yesterday. And people are now beginning to pack up because they want to get over to Tahrir Square so they can join in the demonstrations before the curfews begin.
So this is about spreading information to the outside world. What about coordinating the protests within Egypt? Is that can't be being done online if there are so many restrictions?
Absolutely. No, that's proving a challenge, and their telephone calls are the most obvious way of spreading information. As people get information from different sources, they're phoning key people and trying to spread the word, spread warnings where necessary, spread information about planned events when that's appropriate. Today we were expecting to see a march on the presidential palace, which is about 10 kilometres east of the city centre. That's now been moved to tomorrow. You've probably heard reports that the April 6th movement, which was one of the biggest online organisers of youth activism behind these demonstrators, has called for 1 million people to be on the streets tomorrow and to march on the presidential palace. So they've been phoning, these are people who have a good network of contacts. They're phoning people, not just in Cairo, but in different cities, keeping them updated, letting them know. There's also talk of a big concert planned in Tahrir Square tomorrow, turning it into a festival atmosphere, showing people that, showing the world that the Egyptian people are controlling the streets, not the regime, not the police. So it's mainly telephone people are using, and of course word of mouth. You know, in Cairo at least, central Tahrir Square is the meeting ground for all of the demonstrators, and everybody there everybody's trying to reach there. In fact, we just heard news now, and we haven't confirmed it, that several thousand people are marching from Shubra, which is a populous neighbourhood in northern Cairo, towards Tahrir, and that's the kind of information which is immediately relayed by phone from this hub to people in Tahrir, so everyone can keep abreast. I should just mention very quickly that in Alexandria, we've had reports that protesters there have managed to hack into the state's sort of semi-state-run communications company. Again, I won't give too much details, but although they haven't been able to get internet access to the outside world, they have created a network, an internal network among protesters and Egyptians within Alexandria, so that they can share information over that network.
What about the shutting off of Al Jazeera? Is that having an impact?
It is having an impact because it's far and away the most the news channel that's been given the most comprehensive coverage. People are switching between Egyptian state TV, other Arabic news channels, BBC Arabic, and also the English language channels at CNN and BBC World to try and keep up to date with what's happening and to see the live TV pictures of Tahrir. But it's difficult, and definitely the loss of Jazeera has been big. We also saw last night what we believe were attempts to scramble the BBC. Whenever the BBC World News covered Egypt, which was a lot of the time, we'd see a lot of interference with the picture and the sounds, and it seems as if somebody was trying to scramble it. CNN, perhaps significantly, didn't face any scrambling, as far as we could tell. Like I said, I don't have any confirmation that was definitely kind of, you know, interference from the authorities here, but it did look very suspicious.
Okay, Jack. Thanks for keeping us posted.
Great. Thanks, Matt.